are talking about researching your family tree today. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm filling in for Larry Mueller. In the studio with me is Lori Bessler. She's a reference librarian at the Wisconsin Historical Society. They have a number of workshops coming up to help you find out about your family. We'll be talking about them and taking your questions, of course. Are you running into a roadblock researching your family tree? What would you like to know about the resources available to you through the Wisconsin Historical Society? Get on that phone. Give us a call. We'll answer those questions. The number, 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, you can also send an email, and that address is ideas@wpr.org. Lori, it's so nice to see you again.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And we always like to get you in this time of the year because you've got all these wonderful workshops planned. But before we start talking about that, I'm curious, what got you interested in genealogy?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as a lot of people, I had a dad who was a wonderful storyteller.
Ah.
And he and my mom talked about family a lot. We had a lot of antiques in the family, and they all had stories. Each piece of furniture did. And when I was about 10 years old, 1976, we took a trip, like a lot of people did, only we went down through Civil War places.
Sure. Yeah.
That a great-great-grandfather had visited or been involved in. And when everybody else was going to Philadelphia for the bicentennial,
yeah,
we headed down that other trip. So stories, that was a big part of it. And then, you start charting things out, and it's kind of fun to put things in place.
I'm sure things have changed a lot since then as far as resources go.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Now, why is the Wisconsin Historical Society the perfect place for researching, family and your background?
It's collections, but it's also the knowledge of the staff. It's we make it very welcoming. We have open stacks, so it's pretty easy to find materials that we have. Starting on our website, wisconsinhistory.org, gives you access to some digital collections as well as databases, and explains our collections through the online catalog, so you can go right to that as well. The Wisconsin Historical Society has been collecting genealogical materials since the 1850s.
That's a long time.
A very long time. We were an actual society 2 years before we were a state.
Amazing.
And so the state has really valued history all that time. And so as an organization, we've kept up those ideas of trying to look at local history, but as well about personal history and family history has always been a priority.
Mm-hmm. And now you have access to a lot of different information, not just Wisconsin, right?
Correct. Our scope in the library is North American. So we have all across the United States and Canada. We have a map collection that's international in our archives.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to digital collections that are on FamilySearch.org, which is the Latter-day Saints website, as an affiliate library. And so people who look at a collection on their website, it has a little key. They can't open it, but if they came to our library, they could open those digital collections.
Okay.
And so that's, open to the world then, because
yes,
they have the whole massive collection. So
it's worth a trip to Madison?
It is worth a trip to Madison. What I always encourage people to do is on our website, we have some webinars, and one of them, and they're free webinars, one of them explains how to prepare. When you're coming to do research at the Historical Society, at any institution, you want to kind of be prepared before you get there, looking at the online catalog and understanding how to look for materials, maybe some published family histories, some local histories. We have access to Ancestry Library Edition. I'll tell you, though, a lot of public libraries across the state do.
Okay.
And so one of the core records that I tell people they need to start with are censuses, and they can get that through Ancestry Library Edition. You don't have to personally subscribe, but you do have to go to your local library and see if they give you access.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of things we do have, but there's search strategies. There's things you want to prepare for ahead of time.
Because it's a little detail. It's not just as easy as, clicking and saying, oh, there's my whole family tree. We're good to go.
Right. No matter what Ancestry says.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So very true. It seems so simple, but it is kind of complicated.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey. It's a journey you really want to take, though.
Yeah.
It is so much fun.
Have you done yours?
I have since age 10.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
so over 40 years, I've been researching, and I'm never going to find all of my answers because there's always another layer I'm taking it to. And that's where I think I can help most people is to say, well, you could keep going. This is what you would do next. And having worked at the Historical Society for 30 years gives me a very good edge on what do we have and what do you find at these other other kinds of institutions that are out there.
How far back have you been able to go?
Well, through the Norwegian line, back to about 1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And then on some of the English lines, back to Mayflower.
Oh,
Yeah. So we have a lot of lines that came in through the Great Migration and just other eras. I have someone who worked on the Panama Canal. I have people who were abolitionists. I have people who were slaveholders. I've got, you know, so it's really interesting where people can go and find out more.
So if you've got a question about searching your background or your family tree, give us a call. Lori's here to answer your questions, 1-800-642-1234. And like I said, you could always send us an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. And we do have open lines. Before we go to the phone, Lori, let's talk about those workshops. You got five of them set up for this fall, don't
we
you?
We do. It's a great lineup, too. We start with the Polish workshop. Steve Zabados from Chicago area is coming down or coming up to speak about the different angles of Polish immigration and where you find the paper trail over there as well as over here. And then drafting a site source citation with a local wonderful talent, George Finland, is going to be speaking on how do you keep track of all of the sources you're using, because of course with research, with genealogical research, it is research and you have to keep track of what you're doing. And then we have a Jewish workshop coming up on October 21st. It's on a Sunday. Most of ours are on a Saturday. And so this one's on October 21st, and it's Debbie Krupkin from Chicago area again. And she's going to speak on the various angles, some websites that are core to Jewish genealogy, as well as historical background of that research. And then also finding our German American ancestors in Europe. We have a wonderful opportunity. It's kind of why we have five workshops, is because we have a wonderful opportunity. Dr. Wolfgang Grams is coming, and we're doing a workshop along with the Max Cotta Institute here on campus. Oh. And so having Antia Petty, who is with the Max Cotta Institute, and then Dr. Grams will be doing a full day. All of these are full day, which is a wonderful opportunity. And then our last one is in November, and that is getting started with your genealogy journey. And it's with Patricia Glover Howard, who is a researcher in the area and just great knowledge of education and genealogical research. She's worked with groups who have worked with Henry Louis Gates, Dr. Gates.
Oh, my.
And so it's a great opportunity. And it's not, you know, we call it getting started, but she has a lot of really great advice on how to keep on track. And so it's kind of going back to the basics, and a lot of us need to go back to the basics every now and then.
Sure, because we kind of forget sometimes.
Yes.
We get all involved.
But,
Yep. Did you have something else to
Just that all of the events are listed on our website, wisconsinhistory.org, and that, you know, they're full day. We feed you lunch.
And there's a charge, but
there
it's
is
not
a, charge.
A lot.
No, it's a $40 for the day, and then 10% off if you're a member of Wisconsin Historical Society or the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society. Okay. The event on German research is also gets a discount for people who are friends of Max Cotta Institute.
Oh, great. Well, yeah. So all kinds of opportunities. But they should probably, you know, put their name in there fairly quickly.
Yes. Actually, you know what? The German event only has about 20 spots left.
Ooh, how many people can you get in?
70.
Ooh.
So we hold it here on campus at the Memorial Library, and it's a very comfortable room. It's, you know, you're comfortable the whole day and you go home exhausted.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. So they have to go to the website to do that? Is that correct?
They do. They register online. If you have any problems registering, my contact information is on there as well.
And what is the website?
WisconsinHistory.org.
Okay.
And then they just go under research your family history.
Okay, wonderful. Well, let's go to those phones. We've had Brad on here from Fall Creek. Hi, Brad.
Good morning. I was going to say I didn't have any questions, but about 12 years ago now, I started on Ancestry only because my grandfather always said, oh, I have relatives in West Bend, Wisconsin. And he really didn't say anything more, and I started first looking in cemeteries, joined with Washington County Historical Site. Then I got on Ancestry, did the DNA test, and like your host or your guest, I have history back to the 1600s in Quebec, Canada, and in Massachusetts and Wisconsin, because Wisconsin obviously was settled first by the Native Americans, but then the French, And so what I've done is I've met a lot of interesting people, and the stories, you can go to the National Archives. There's a lot of old books that you can download for free. Like, I found two huge volumes on the history of Chippewa Valley, volumes of history on the history of Massachusetts. And then Canadians, the Quebecers especially, have a real good site with natural history. And then I found sites on Facebook where people also help as well.
Wow, that's a lot of work that he's done.
That is a lot of work he's done in such a, it sounds like a short amount of time, mm-hmm. too. And that's one of the aspects of doing research now, is because, like he said, you can go to so many different sites and download full books that are no longer covered under copyright. There's quite a few, like if you go to Google Books or other products like that, they may say you can only see a snippet. And then we get people who contact us saying, you have the whole book. Can you, can I buy that book from you?
Right. No,
we're a library. We're not a bookseller. We're not a bookseller. But we do work with people to say then, okay, your family's in the book. We're going to make it accessible to you. So either we can interlibrary loan some things. Sometimes it's that we can scan full chapters of the book, whatever it is. So we work a lot with the idea that there's so much digitally out there. It can also be overwhelming.
Oh,
and
yes.
So we kind of help people stay on a research plan. And that's one of the things, one of the services we do have, is people can make an appointment with me to have either a phone conversation or in person, a full 1 hour consultation to get you on track and
mm-hmm.
say, okay, well, this is great, but look at this other record you didn't think existed. It really does.
Yeah.
And this is where you find it.
Because it is confusing. There's so many places you can go. And yeah.
Yeah. It's
and if people do want to call you, is there a charge?
There's no
services?
Charge. No.
Okay.
For those consultations, They're strictly, it helps us to help them.
You know? That's
so,
your job, right?
Yeah, it's our job. That's a reference librarian right
and
there.
And to contact you?
They can go to the website or they can email asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Okay.
We also have a phone number, 608-264-6535, and that's our reference desk.
And one more time on that phone number?
The phone number, 608-264-6535.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, thanks for that question, Brad, or for telling us about your search, Brad. We appreciate that. Let's go next to Alice in New London. Hello, Alice.
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment about the census records, which really are very helpful. But you don't have to go to Ancestry.com and have a subscription, or you don't have to go to the library even. All you got to do is Google family search and census, and you'll have the list of practically every census right up through the 1940s, starting in 1790. And they're free, and you can actually, print the actual image of the record.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alice.
So FamilySearch.org is the website I think Alice is mentioning. You do have to subscribe to them, but it doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
You just set up
they
an account.
Just want your information.
They make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's very easy to use that. And she's right. Those are able, you can view them completely from home through that one website. The searchability between websites is one of the aspects that we kind of help people figure out which one is going to make finding that person easier. And so certainly with Ancestry, I'm more aware of that searchability than with Family Search. I go to certain records on Family Search to find materials. But on our website, we also have a webinar on how to use Ancestry and a webinar on how to use FamilySearch.org.
Okay.
Great websites.
Yeah, definitely. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry today on the Ideas Network, and we're talking about tracing your family roots on the show today. Our guest is Lori Bessler. She is a research librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society. Have you used the Historical Society's resources to do research? Tell us about your experience or ask a question. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We've got a couple of open lines, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Right now, we're talking about genealogy with Lori Bessler from the Wisconsin Historical Society. Lori, we were just talking before we went to the break about census records. What information do we get from census records that would be important to our search?
So the census record is something that's been done, created every 10 years since the beginning of the time we were a country. So the first one is 1790, like the previous caller had mentioned. 1790 to 1840 really are just noting information mostly about the heads of household, which are mostly men at that time. And so then they have tally marks under different ages. Not a lot of detail to that. Starting in 1850, it lists everybody living in the household. So 1850 to 1940, 1940 is the last one released to the public. All of those censuses give you a snapshot of the household. Who's living there? How old are they? Where were they born? Where were their parents born? So really good data. They certainly have their error rate to them.
I'm
That's
sure.
for sure.
Yeah.
So there are key census years that when people say, I'm looking at my immigrant ancestor, for instance, I'm really hoping that that immigrant lived past 1900, because each year they change the questions a little bit. So 1900 is the first year they ask, when did this person immigrate? And you, if you have a date of immigration and then also something about naturalization, becoming a citizen, that really helps finding the passenger list. And that's one of those key things that a lot of people want to find are passenger lists.
Mm-hmm.
And they are interesting to look at and
sure.
everything. So, and sometimes they're very hard to find. So finding people in censuses, that's one of the core. I always tell people there's really three types of records you really want to exhaust, and censuses are one of them. Obituaries is another one, and a lot of people have those in the family papers. And for those that they're missing, Historical Society has a wonderful collection, newspaper collection second only to the Library of Congress. So it's amazing
wow.
what we have access
mm-hmm.
to. And then also vital records, birth, marriage, and death records. Back to the core thing that shows, you know, I was born at this time to these parents. Their birth records and going backward and everything.
Okay.
So all of those clues, names, dates, and places are the core structure of a genealogy.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that information. I always was curious. Let's go back to the phones. We've had Elizabeth waiting from Watertown. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
What's your question?
Well, it's a question about, I'm in the storage unit right now, just going through old documents that belonged mostly to my mother's side of the family, and I came across a box of documents that belonged to my father's side of the family. And so they've been very well preserved, and I looked at them the other day and discovered that somebody in the family was a genealogy specialist and had documented everything in that particular branch of the family back to the 16th century. And my question specifically is, I understand as a researcher myself that handling original documents is extremely important. So I wanted to follow up with information about making an appointment with someone to look at these documents and give me some guidance on how I should physically handle them and also get them up electronically. So I'll just wait for your suggestion.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Great question.
Yeah, it's definitely a good question. You know what is that? We have different people you could talk to. For preservation's sake, we have people, conservation, and then also research sake, putting things together and how to, you know, get the stories out of that. So I would suggest actually if you would contact me first, and then we would start the ball rolling with that. If you were able to bring that collection to the society, that's a possibility. If that is a possibility, then it would make it a little easier to help instead of trying to figure things out over a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So contacting me, and like I said, you can set up appointments or a consultation with me through asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. These consultations do need to be scheduled because it's better not to be interrupted.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, well, good luck with that, Elizabeth. That's in Watertown's pretty close, so she can come visit quite easily, I'm sure. Next up, we've got Mark in Madison. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
What's your question?
Yes. My question is concerning ports of entry for Norwegian immigrants during the 1870s and 1880s. Do the different ports of entries have websites? And then my second comment is that tomorrow night at Leif Risa in Stoughton, Rasmus Sunde will be giving a speech on Norwegian immigrants from 4 to 5 o'clock.
I'm not sure. We didn't get that real well, Mark. You're not coming in, but someone's giving
an event. Is there an event? Someone's coming to speak in Stoughton.
Yep. The Leif Risa Institute of Norwegian Genealogy Research in Stoughton.
Okay, they're having a speaker there.
Livreise.
Yes, they have a wonderful museum down in Stoughton that had just opened, I think, was it last year or the year before?
been open a few years now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple ideas. First of all, as far as the ports of entry, looking at a person's citizenship records, when they became a citizen here, that paper trail could explain what port of entry and what name of ship and what date of entry they came in. So going through looking at naturalization records first for your specific people might be the better way to go. A lot of passenger lists are on Ancestry in the library edition. There are some on Family Search, not as many. So there's definitely those online products that you could look into. In Madison, you have the museum in Stoughton, but in Madison, you also have the Norwegian American Genealogical Center and Naseth Library, and that staff is just amazing on what they can do on finding information about your Norwegian family here and then going backward in time to when they're in the old country. And so I suggest contacting them as well. That was the Norwegian American Genealogical Center and Naseth Library. It's a very long title.
It really is.
But it's worth contacting them as well. So looking at, like I said, the citizenship papers might be your next step.
All right. Great. Thanks, Mark. Let's go next to Kathy in Reedsburg. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I was doing just a little bit of genealogy research, and my father was adopted, and I have the name of his biological mother, and that's it. How do I get more information?
Okay, what time period are we talking that the birth took place?
My dad was born in 1917.
1917. Okay, so within the state Department of Health, they have an area that deals with or works with people researching adoption cases. So I would suggest contacting them. You can contact us first, and I could have a phone consultation with you or an in-person consultation. You know, many times I've met with people about adoption situations. It always sounds like, well, there's not going to be much to find. And a lot of times just having that conversation brings things out that they didn't realize they know that are very important clues. And so it is possible for me to meet with you and to have that consultation.
Okay. Well, great. That sounds like a great idea, Kathy. Give a call over there to Lori. Let's up next, we've got Randy in Genesee Depot. Hello, Randy.
Hi. Thanks for this. I also started about 1977, shortly after my mother died, and one of the initial things I did was get baptismal records right in Waukesha at the courthouse that included her and her siblings in the 19-teens. But in Madison, I spent several days over a period of time going through city directories in Chicago and determining different places that my surname lines had lived in the Chicago, and I was able to figure out parishes, locations of marriage, of course, cemetery records, stuff like that. And I want to applaud you for mentioning that different content in different census years can be a gem of information. I recently found that an older sister of my great-great-grandmother, who died in 1930, a month after the census, but she indicated where her parents were from in Northern Ireland. Never would have suspected that.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Randy.
It is really interesting. That's why I always tell people you need the full paper trail. So yeah. Especially when you hit a dead end, the first questions I ask are those three types of records. Have they actually gotten those? The censuses, the vital records, and the obituaries. And then branching out from that, what information did those records say? What else can we look for? We have more names, dates, and places to use. So looking at church records are phenomenal. It's how, you know, if you link back to someone who was born in New York and you just know it's a state of New York, it's really hard to go and look at New York as a whole state and just say, where is my Cook family there? So, because that was my maiden name, and it was in Chicago as well. Mm-hmm. So Cook, C-O-O-K in Cook County. And so a church record showed me. I found out what church they were involved in Chicago, and it mentioned, well, he came from that one church, Ithaca, New York. Oh, my goodness. Then I now a county and a town. Mm-hmm. So, yes, looking at church records, military records, land records even, there was a deed that mentioned that he had bought land in New Jersey, and he was from a certain county in New York. And so Tioga County, I think is what it was. So looking at the full paper trail, wonderful example with that caller.
Okay, great. Thanks, Randy. We do have open lines if you're interested in giving a call. We've got Lori Bessler with us today. She's a reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society, specializing in genealogy research. Our number, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email, and that's ideas@wpr.org. Let's go with Diane in Appleton. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. Thank you for my call. I've been doing research on Ancestry for about a year and a half now, and I found a half-niece and a half-sister in the Milwaukee area, but I'm having trouble tracing my paternal line. I can find the great-grandfather and the grandfather because I compare my third and fourth cousins from Ancestry. I compare their family trees. But I'm thinking I found three females with quite large Centimorgan matches, 822, 458, and 425. So I think those would be maybe daughters of a step uncle or a half uncle, or would that seem right to you?
Well, without the charts in front of me, I don't know. But what you're talking is DNA. And so it opens it up to a discussion we should have as well. When you're doing genealogical research, the old way is to look at the paper trail. And that's what we really help you with mostly at the Historical Society. But DNA is now a most important tool in this search as well. And centimorgans is a term that you use to define how people are related according to the results of their DNA tests. And so Ancestry is one of the places, number one, to do DNA testing. There are many other places now. MyHeritage, a current one that's out getting a lot of press is GEDmatch, because they've used that site in order to solve some crimes. And so that's getting a lot of publicity. Family Tree DNA, and then also 23andMe. Those are the top places. You can often take your results from one site like Ancestry and take that raw DNA data and put it on one of these other sites and open yourself up to even a wider pool. Once you make those connections, then the number of centimorgans explains how close of a relationship is it. All of this research that you do with analyzing DNA, I really suggest people work with someone who knows. And what we do is usually every fall and spring, and we did not do it for this fall, we usually have a workshop held by or taught by Mary Eberly in the Madison area. And I think she's been on Larry's show before.
And actually in May, so if someone wants to go back in our archives and listen to it, they certainly can do that.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Her website is dnahunters.com. And so she is just very knowledgeable, and usually we have a workshop that is a basics. I've done my DNA testing. What do I do now? What the heck is a centimorgan? How do I analyze this? And so it takes some explanation. It's worth the journey to understand what those mean. If the caller wants to contact me, I can help her to a certain degree and then put her in touch with Mary or another researcher who can help.
Okay. All right, Diane. Thank you for that call. Up next, we have Will in Duluth. Hi, Will.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what can we help you with?
So, I'm Alaskan Native. I'm Aleut is the tribe that I belong to. And I kind of have a question about how I would go searching for the genealogy and, I guess, lineage within my tribe. I know that my father belongs to or is a member of the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. And I've kind of poked around, but I can't really find any resources that would have records or anything like that for tribes in Alaska, just because it was after the whole reservations thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what you're working with Indigenous, with American Indian, is that you're dealing with two angles to this, okay? One is that the government is keeping track in a paper trail, and then the tribes are keeping track in either oral or a paper trail. And so you want to work with specialists who are going to know both of those angles. So number one, had you contacted anybody with the tribe originally?
No. I haven't. I've just kind of been browsing on their website, kind of through like the state of Alaska's website for resources, and I really haven't come up with anything.
Okay, well, so that's what a reference librarian does for you. Okay, and I love finding, I love opening new doors because I learn from it as well. And so that's definitely something that if you can email me some details first, and then I can do a little digging for you. And then we can have a consultation to discuss, oh, I found the institution you want to talk to. I know who this specialist is. I talked to so-and-so, and they told me you need to talk to this person. And so making that networking start, that's what I can do for you. So it's emailing asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org.
Okay. And now Will is in Minnesota. Does that make a difference?
It does not make a difference at all. I've helped people from around the world.
Excellent. Yeah. On a kind of similar vein, Ellen from Milwaukee called in and she couldn't stay with us, but she asked, how does she trace African-American records back to slavery and beyond? Are there any good resources?
Oh, you know, one of the best things that someone in that situation can do is to watch some episodes with Henry Louis Gates Finding My Past on PBS. Mm-hmm. Just some of the stories and how he explains how they uncovered the details is really important. So, number one, you do go back using censuses and other resources all the way back to about 1870. 1870 is the first census where people who had been enslaved will show up as free. And so, also, don't make any assumptions, okay? If you get back to that point, don't make assumptions that they were definitely had to be slaves. There have been many cases where he's uncovered that actually that was a free family. They had moved, they had gone, whatever. Also, the paper trail of the owner is really important. Their probate files could name lists of people. There's other types of records that are created by the states and by the federal government. And so, again, working with a reference librarian is probably your best bet.
Okay, great. Well, good luck with that, Ellen. Back on the phones, we've got Maxine in Fox Lake, Illinois. Hi, Maxine.
Hi. My first question was, is there a Finnish source for looking up your ancestors?
You know what? I think there's a source for every ethnic group. I really do. It's just finding out who is that ethnic group. So a lot of ethnic groups in the United States have what are called interest groups, okay? They're groups of people who get together and say, hey, I'm Finnish too. What else can we find? I found this one resource. This is where. So there's a lot of networking that happens with that. I would suggest, actually, again, contacting me because I will go to websites like Cindy's List, .com and see what Cindy Ingalls has identified as websites. Now, websites are not the whole thing, but it's a great place to start. And a lot of organizations will have website addresses. And so there's ways for us to find that information for you and work with you directly.
Okay. Let's go to Kathy in Milton. Hi, Kathy.
Yes. I have a concern about the creation of records now. When my husband died in 2002, I made sure that I had the full names of his parents. But when I got the death certificate, it didn't include those. So I went and got an amended death certificate because I wanted it to be as accurate as possible.
Right.
And my other concern is I know a lot of people, when they write obituaries, are now worried about putting in too much information, even death dates and birth dates, because of identity theft. How is that going to affect things moving forward? Because when I created a couple of obituaries for people in the family, I was aware of balancing how much they're used as historical documents in searches and the concern about putting too much information on them.
Right, because there's that whole thing of, you know, you use your mother's maiden name for passwords or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to be a lot more careful now. I've seen really good discussions when I've talked to different groups in discussing that with other researchers. Most genealogical or most areas have a genealogical society, a county historical society, a county genealogical society. I would suggest getting involved and talking to people who are in this research as well. Being cautious of what you do include, you know, obituaries are nice to put in newspapers, but they don't always have to just be in newspapers. It could be that people who attend the funeral get a printout of the obituary. I've been to many funerals that they've mm-hmm. done that. Just sharing that information just with the family that is identified is another way. There have been people, part of my mother's family is from Nebraska, and sometimes they've actually forwarded a copy of the death record to the people in the family they know, like myself, who do genealogical research. when you share information online, you have to be very careful, because once you type it in, it's out there for good. Just consider it that way. It's awfully hard to pull that back. And so being careful and mindful and not putting living people's information online anywhere is one of the best ways you could go about doing this. But it is very difficult.
Yeah, if it's not there, it's somewhere else usually.
Exactly.
So, okay, well, thank you for bringing that up, Kathy. That's a really good thing. Now, we've got to wrap up here. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to everybody. We probably could have been here for a lot longer, Lori. There's a lot of people interested in this. Let's just go over one more time the topics for this year's workshops and when they're going to be.
Okay, well, so the topics are Polish genealogy on September 22nd. That's a Saturday. Citing sources, drafting a citation.
Say that again.
citing sources is on September 29th, again, a Saturday. We have a Jewish genealogy workshop on Sunday, October 21st. German genealogy, which is almost filling up, on November 3rd. Ironically, we opened it up like 3 weeks ago, and it's almost three-quarters of the way full.
A lot of German ancestry in Wisconsin.
A lot of German ancestry in Wisconsin. And we have people coming from other states nearby,
sure.
too, just for that workshop. And then our last workshop of the season will be on November 10th, again on a Saturday. It's called Getting Started with Your Genealogy. But I'll tell you, a lot of it is just going back to the standards of genealogy. And I think a lot of us need to step back and look at those first ideas again.
Okay. And how do they sign up?
You go on to wisconsinhistory.org to register for any of these classes. There's a blue box that says Research Your Family History, and it'll take you to the page about the workshops and webinars. Because I mentioned those free webinars as well. Mm-hmm. You can pull the webinars up for free. There's a handout you can download.
Yeah, they look. There's a lot of nice topics on there for anybody starting, especially.
Yes.
And your contact information is also on that website.
Yes, it's asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. And then our reference number is 608-264-6535.
Okay, great. Lori, thank you so much for coming in again. It's always great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
We've been talking with Lori Bessler. She is a reference librarian with the Wisconsin Historical Society, specializing in genealogy research. Coming up next, we'll find out what's new along the Mississippi. Hope you can stay with us on the Ideas Network.